Hi there, Saints fans. Jen Hale here from the NFL on Fox. You're listening to Taking the Over with Billy Gunn.
What's up? Good evening. You're listening to another episode of Taking the Over with Billy D. Gunn, and I am your host, Billy Gunn, on this, the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. And tonight, multiple-time guest, longest-tenured friend in the world, I would say financial analyst, genius, writer of many words, Cedric is joining us again tonight, and I could not be more excited. So Cedric, welcome back to Taking the Over. It's so good to see you again. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up? Thanks for having me on, Gun Man. I do have to tell the audience, that, you know, you got to pick two out of those three that David threw out there. Two out of three. You know, you might take two out of three. So,
did two out of three hit last week?
No.
I think we've been hitting some bets around here, man.
Oh yeah, no, you've been killing it there. I just meant with your extremely gracious introduction. That's all.
Oh, two out of the three things I said were correct.
Sure, maybe.
Which?
I have no idea.
Well, dude, I am I'm excited. Like I said, it's been a good couple weeks of gambling. It's been a good couple weeks of the show.
Yeah.
We've got NFL Week 17 coming up to talk about. There's lots of COVID everywhere. It's fucking COVID palooza out there. We got John Madden is dead.
Yes. What a voice, huh? That man.
He was a voice, but I mean, he
was an icon. He is an
icon. Yeah.
But I mean that everyone knows his voice. Everyone, if you hear him, every man over the age of, I don't know, 25, I have no idea when maybe they lost track of who John Madden might be. For all grown men, for sure, he is absolutely instrumental to our understanding of football and just thinking of sports as a whole and all the things that he did throughout all this time. So, for sure.
Yeah. It's huge. I mean, I associated him with football growing up. He always did the big game on Sunday, did a lot of Super Bowls. Pat Summerall. And I mean, like, I didn't realize until I was older, and I had a family member that worked in the NFL and explained to me that Pat Summerall was a huge alcoholic. Pat Summerall was just like fucking just full blown alcoholic. And then I saw Pat Summerall on a plane one time, and I was like, yeah, that motherfucker is trashed and old. But Madden, yeah, I mean, they had a dynamic duo. I mean, they were a great duo. He had an iconic style. I took for granted, I think he had like over 70 or 700% winning percentage as a head coach in the NFL over 10 years. That's amazing. That is fucking rare.
That in our, and when we were children, you know, I mean, obviously we came up after he had already retired, you know, but.
Right, but we came up with his video game, and his video game is his biggest legacy.
Yes.
His video game is his biggest legacy.
Right.
We were all impacted by his video game.
This is the thing. They don't even include him in it. See, when we were kids, his voice was in the game. He was on the cover. He was part of the game.
Oh, the game is disgusting now. The game is horrible now, and it shouldn't be. It's been bad for a number of years. I was a Madden freak.
Yeah, you were gifted in college, man. I remember you were like running the dorm tournaments or something.
Yeah. For sure. For sure. But it got bad. Like the game got bad like 13 or 14 years ago. It's when the cat just knocked my lighter off the table. I was going to legitimately smoke a joint, and this fucker is just knocking lighters off the table. I went to a Madden Bowl party the week of the Super Bowl when New Orleans was hosting the Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl post 9/11. It was like the official celebrity invite Madden Bowl party. And through a family connection, somebody working the event, I was able to get to attend the event. It was almost like just celebrities, very few like lay people, open bar. It was at like a fancy bar on either like Decatur or South Peters. And I mean, it was just an outstanding event. And like for example, Shannon Sharp like emceed the event. Like he was like the hype man. LL Cool J was there because he just remade like some kind of sci-fi movie, you know, like Evander Holyfield's walking around. Like they did have like a Madden tournament there, but it was like NFL players playing each other. So I remember like Rashay Caldwell, who went to the University of Florida. I can't remember where he was playing in the pros, but he won the whole tournament. You know, of course, lots of Saints were there. Kyle Turley, Ricky Williams. Kyle Turley's kind of a douchebag, dude. Like hardcore douchebag. Ricky's Ricky. Ricky's awesome. But like the biggest celebrity of the night. Oh, this was the event where remember Brandi Chastain, the United States women's soccer player, that she scored the winning goal and tore her shirt off?
Yes, yes.
She had me go get her little brother out of the bathroom who was like passed out drunk. And I went and got Brandi Chastain's brother and brought him out. The biggest celebrity of the night.
Social media, man. This is before.
This is the year 2002. This is like February or January of 2002.
Right on.
The biggest celebrity of the night was John Madden. And he made like an appearance. 10 minutes to closing time. Came through. Hello. Shook a few hands. Fucking in and out of there. Did not want to be in a crazy ass bar.
He was an old man then. Okay. He was like 62.
Yeah, right. He influenced my life in a huge positive way. Huge positive way. Made me love football the way that I love football today. So RIP John Madden. And man, that was a tough one. I hate to see it, but I mean, it's not surprising. He's old. People die.
I don't know. Yeah.
You got any of that COVID? You got COVID right now?
It's all around me, man. So this is the thing. I got COVID when we went to that Tool concert, basically. And 2 years ago, you know, that was New Orleans, February 2020.
You got the initial outbreak.
2019. Yeah, down there. 2020, yeah. 19, yeah.
It was February 2020, yeah.
And since then, I have been exposed to people who have had it. Prior to being vaccinated, before they were even distributed, and didn't catch it then, and I still haven't caught it again, so we'll see. Right. But at the end of the day, you know, nothing beats, you know, the getting it and beating it and your body building up natural immunity. I mean, that's how nature works, and getting broken cells and these experiments, of course, they're beneficial for society, et cetera, especially people who are particularly vulnerable or whatnot. But at the end of the day, you know, everybody needs to make a decision for themselves, but eventually it's going to be a cold. Okay. I mean, we're heading toward a cold.
That's what I said. I'm trying to be optimistic. It feels like it's getting there now with the Omicron. You know, and it's like, yeah, because this is not going anywhere. So it's like, okay, yeah, vulnerable populations, take care of your people. Throughout this whole thing, like, multiple things can be true. I think this is one of those, this is one of those issues where people forget that, like, everything is not bipolar, everything is not right. You know, multiple things can be true. And yeah, mass, of course, yeah, anything that I said, I mean, mass, of course, they're, I feel like I'd wear a mask at the airport now if they didn't require it.
Look, David, you may not have to. Somebody definitely should. You know,
yeah.
There's people out there who definitely should.
Right.
And definitely wearing them. You
but
know,
they the should probably drop 100 pounds too, some of those people.
See, all, there's a lot of things. Exactly. Yeah.
Yes, but they don't tell you to drop 100 pounds. Sure. They don't tell you to drop 100 pounds. They tell you wear a mask and get a shot.
I think they've said a lot of things. I just don't know, you know, which ones people want to listen to and which ones calm the masses down the most. Telling everybody to go on a diet will make everyone laugh. Okay. So what, telling them to buy a pack of 50 masks for $3 before they became $30, you know, seemed like an easy, reasonable way to at least get the masses. Okay. That's who we're talking about. We're not talking about individuals, we're not talking about households, we're not talking about you or me, we're talking about the just telling right. everybody, hey, everybody, you know, it's just a good, healthy, you know. And then it became mandatory because of certain what positions, and people of course want to show some leadership and half, you know, I won't say medicine or science, but you know, it's all good as far as I'm concerned. And not that I don't know people who have suffered from it, including, you know, myself, close ones, but I just mean, you know, in general, over time, especially now, I feel like Omicron's going to move us. It's moved us closer to quote unquote heading in the direction of herd immunity, if that's a thing, to where, you know, I'm just, this is all for me. You know, I'm looking at the stock market and I'm saying, hey, I feel like 2022, you know, isn't necessarily going to be as doomy and gloomy as it seems like it's going to be. And it's always that swing, man. They always get us on the left foot when we should be on our right, you know. And I feel like this is one of those times where being contra to the narrative, it's a juicy time to be looking at the stock market.
I know a guy just bought $15 million worth of rapid tests.
Yeah, and I bet you he's going to be able to flip them.
He's going to sell them $22 a box.
These next 3 months are going to be hardcore. I'm talking about long term. I'm not really talking about like.
I'm right not now. Even making that up. Guy bought $15 million. He's selling them $22 a pop.
Well, you're not telling me the critical piece of information. Did he buy him for
$23?
How much were they when he bought them? Like, I mean,
he definitely is not buying them for $23.
Okay.
I think he's doing like 100% markup on them. But you know, whatever happens, happens. You only get one pandemic a lifetime, right?
Not that's our like, lifetime. Nope.
You think we're gonna get more?
That's old news. That's the old stuff.
Oh man! In 3 days, the state of Louisiana's medical program will start selling flour.
It's also going to be 2022.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to next year. It's going to be nice.
I didn't think 2021 was so bad.
Yeah, I'm not running away from 2021. Yeah. It's fine.
But I got I got nothing wrong with 2021.
You know, I hear people say, oh yeah, thank God. I mean, I can't wait till, you know, it's like, no, I can't. I'm looking forward to it. That's all.
Bring it on. Bring that motherfucker down, dude. What you going to do in 2022?
Oh, I'm just going to surf the wave, man.
You going to ride the wave?
Ride the wave. Whatever comes. As usual, you know.
Oh. Well, I'm excited to see you ride the wave. Big wave? You think it's going to be a big wave?
I'm willing. We'll see. You know, I don't get to determine the environment. I don't get to choose.
But you're an oceanographer of sorts.
I'm swimming out there.
I believe. Hey, look, man. I believe you've been on a board riding waves before of this type. So, what do you think? What's the forecast, Doctor?
Well, first I'm gonna go for a swim, warm up a bit. You know, I'm gonna go ahead and make sure my legs aren't too shaky. And from there, once I get that feel, man, you know me.
You paddle that board.
Just paddle out there and see what's out there.
Hey, you're not worried about sharks. I ain't worried about sharks.
Hey, man, you just gotta make sure that you're not going to a place where you're gonna have to deal with sharks. Buddy of mine, because I was saying that I do want to at some point go out to New Zealand or go surf out in Australia, literally. And buddy of mine was like, man, you worried about sharks, you know?
There's
and I was
always like, sharks at the best places. I
mean, yeah.
Sharks apparently like to fucking surf too. I mean, what the fuck? Are they like to congregate where the best surfers are?
Sure.
What's that all about?
Before I do all that, though, of course, I'll get some time in before that happens. So before I make myself in any way, shape or form appetizing to a shark, I'll have gotten enough thrills in on the board.
You ready to talk about some football?
Let's talk about some football, man.
Week 17. It's going to be fantasy football finals for a lot of folks out there. I'm in a finals in one of my leagues. We're going to break a rule and allow people to talk about fantasy football.
Congratulations.
Tonight. Yeah. Other leagues I've done piss poor, but one of the three I'm in the finals and, you know, I'm excited about that. But, you know, we were talking earlier in our pre-production meeting and you were mentioning you're interested in fantasy and Saints right now. And fucking, I'm all about it. I mean, Saints are still alive. We still got a lot of Saints ahead of us. We're going to talk about some Saints tonight. And, feel free to talk about it.
You know, when they say the Saints have 32% chance of making the playoffs, you know, when I was younger, I used to take those odds more seriously. And now that I know all of what goes into making those kinds of determinations, it's just, you know, the window's broader than that, right? But it's, you know, it's very much unlikely, especially after the devastating game you attended last week. I mean, you could tell us a little bit about that. I know you were going there.
Dude. All right. So let me tell you.
Want to throw out there, I went to the Bills game. So the worst game I've ever seen in my entire life live.
I'm sorry.
So I just want to say that I also, you know, have empathy for what you experienced last week.
Well, I mean, Monday night, I had optimism, but I knew I had no thoughts that we were going to win that game. But the fortunate news is that we won the previous game in Tampa that we were not expected to. So even with a loss Monday night to the Dolphins, we're still not really out of the playoffs.
I mean, not out completely.
We would have controlled our own destiny in many ways, shapes, and forms if we had won that game. But as is going to be a theme is this fucking COVID, because COVID is crazy for the Saints. COVID is crazy for a lot of teams, usually not as bad as the Saints, and other teams got their shit moved around. That was like a practice squad team out there. There was guys getting fitted in the locker room for equipment. The game should not have happened. It was a travesty. I went. The most exciting part of the night was as we were crossing the causeway, Troy Bailey texted me like, hey man, if you're going to the game, be loud. And I was like, ooh, let me call. I like to call a motherfucker back sometimes, Ron. Like, you text me, I might give you a phone call right back. You know what I mean? I like to talk to my friends sometimes. And he answered. And right after he answered, we're coming up, we're on the causeway in the left-hand lane going, you know, whatever, not far above the speed limit. And there's a bunch of cars starting to slow down and get congested. And they're all behind. It's because of this. Is a goddamn Ferrari going like 10 miles an hour below the speed limit with his emergency flashers on. And I look over and it's an old guy getting like a hand job and probably, you know, a blow job too, but definitely a hand job. Cause I saw the hand job. And I was like, wow, well, that was awesome. We saw a guy in a Ferrari getting a hand job. But the really weird flex move is
your daughter's fucking with you for this game.
No. I was with an adult friend.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, that changed. That should change the context of the story. Yeah.
I was wondering.
Yeah. No, we're having a daughter-free week. Keeping the flashers on, putting the flashers on.
Safety first, man. Safety first.
Really?
He's got to make sure that while he's going that slow, he doesn't get rear-ended. You know.
That's a fucking flex, isn't it?
Well, I mean, what's going to happen?
Put my flashers on while I'm getting some
was the
favor on the road over here.
Was the dome light on?
No, it was broad daylight.
Right on.
It was before the sun went down. It's like 3:30 in the afternoon.
Sweet.
Yeah. That's pretty wild, huh?
Well, then I don't know what the flashers were for then.
Because yeah. he's like, really flat. He's like, hey, safety first.
Did you say the Lambo was red?
It was a Ferrari.
I mean, Ferrari. What color?
It was red.
Okay.
Yeah. It wasn't the nicest Ferrari. It's kind of a shitty Ferrari.
Yeah, I see some of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
I just thought the flashers were a crazy fucking touch. Because it caused me to look over. If he'd just been going slow and it was a Ferrari, and you look over and they ride low, and it's just the dude getting some service, getting a favor over there. Well, this week there is no Thursday night game. We're going to start the slate off on Sunday early. We've got Las Vegas is traveling to Indy. Indianapolis is a 6.5-point favorite. Total on the game is 44.5. You've got, you know, Indy's been strong, man. And I finally figured out in my dumb brain to start betting with Indy instead of against Indy. And they came through straight money line and covered the spread as well against the Cardinals last week. There's a little bit of uncertainty around Indianapolis this week because Carson Wentz has tested positive for COVID. Mm-hmm. And he's an unvaccinated player, but the NFL conveniently changed their policy like today that it doesn't really matter that he's unvaccinated and has COVID. If he just shows 5 days of unsymptomatic, because we're on the fucking honor system now. I don't know what that means, dude.
Oh, good, coach.
Yeah, I'm good. No sniffles. I think we've all. It's a rare breed of us that have gone to work sick on purpose. Like, to, you know what I'm saying?
Gotta do what you gotta do, man. Gotta use those sick days for vacation.
Yeah, even with the uncertainty, they're a 6.5-point favorite at home. I have been betting with Indy a good bit. Vegas is just a weird-ass team. Concerns about Carr's health. Don't like the total. I don't like this game. Cedric, I would stay away from this game.
Yeah, I would. I mean, straight up, sure. Other than that, yeah, no way.
Yeah, the money line's not, it's not worth it within, because this, you know, strange things happen. You know what I mean? And we saw it last week. The Houston Texans beat the Los Angeles Chargers. My guest last week, Taylor's, dude, one of the smartest gambling guys I know and I admire. He's my favorite gambling guy to talk to. That's a game that he missed. And my point last week with Chargers and the Texans was the Chargers offense is so high wire and so trapeze like that if anything goes wrong, the whole fucking thing goes off the rails. And you know, and that's what happened. And so favorites lose, you know, some double digit favorites lose. I don't want any part of this. Nobody's obligated to bet any game. And that to me, I mean, that game just doesn't have much interest to me. Now, a game that does have a bunch of interest to me is the next game where the New York Giants are traveling to Chicago. Chicago's coming off a big upset victory over Seattle with Nick Foles as the quarterback. There's some question if Nick Foles is going to start again coming off that hot hand Nick Foles. I mean, Big Dick Nick Foles has won a Super Bowl, Cedric.
He has. I watched.
37.5 is the total. It's a low total on this game. Chicago is a -6 home favorite to the New York Giants. Even with Nick Foles. I mean, what are we talking about? Chicago getting 6 points?
They're gonna crush the Giants, right?
I don't think Chicago crushes anybody.
right. Crush might be a strong word.
I don't think they crush anybody.
But the Giants won't be able to score. You know, they might get a TD and a field goal or two. And, you know, the Bears will be able to make some things happen across the four quarters. The Giants don't really have a defense, so. I expect Chicago, the Bears to cover.
Chicago in their miraculous victory behind Nick Foles last week defeated the Seahawks 25-24. And it's one of those situations where the Seahawks went for two instead of tying the game and sending it.
Yeah, that was
so it's like one of those coin toss fucking victories. You know, Chicago does have a defense.
And they have David Montgomery. Going to be too. I like David Chicago. Montgomery as a stable back. I mean, he's a solid, you know, he's going to keep making it downfield. So, I mean, you know, where were you going with? You said you
I'm really going with this. Give me the motherfucking New York Giants getting 6 points. The Bears ain't beating anybody by six, dude.
Cool.
Even with Nick Foles. This is a game I'm on. I like to make stupid bets on bad teams. Yeah, you know, I gotta bring this. Well, I gotta bring this win percentage down somehow. But I find a lot of success with bad teams. For example,
you mean like because you get better odds? Like,
well, I'll jump straight to another perfect example: the Detroit Lions, who this week are getting 7 points on the road, so they're +7 underdogs to Seattle. Lions covered again last week. That's all they do. Cover lately. I mean, it's like, yeah, they're bad. Yeah, they're going to lose, but not everybody's going to beat the shit out of them. And every once in a while, you know, I mean, they played the fucking Falcons last week. And that game, it started like, it grew to like Lions +7. It started at like Lions +5. I got it at 5.5. And I still covered one when they lost by 4, 20-16. You know, I mean, they've covered their last two games out. Well, they covered one outright against the Cardinals when they beat the Arizona Cardinals 30-12. And they're taking on Seattle. They're taking on Seattle, who just lost to the Bears, who we were just talking about, where I don't really, I mean, they lost to the Bears on a coin flip 2-point conversion play. I feel comfortable that the Bears aren't very good. I feel comfortable that Seattle's not very good. Detroit right now is Detroit +7. And I'm all about taking Detroit +7 this week. This is one that I'm all over. So, you know, I've got a weakness for shitty teams, dude.
I mean, back to back, we got a little like, so yeah, to cover. Oh, man. Goff. So people's, I mean,
they covered without Goff last week,
right?
I think they'll do it again, and I believe they'll.
It's going to be gross no matter what. I feel like this is such a toss up. This is true gambling. This is what I, you know, as a non gambler, that to me, this game, they had neither of them have any fight in the game, any dog in the fight. Am I right? Like, they have nothing going for them.
They're both.
Next year, you know,
I mean, Russell. Detroit has been scrappy. Like I said, Detroit 2 weeks ago beat Arizona. You know,
yeah. I watched. I mean, there's no tanking.
That coach is coaching for his job, and I think Dan Campbell's a crazy motherfucker.
I think I've mentioned before. I kind of enjoyed for some reason watching a couple of the guys. I don't know why, but once the middle of the season came in, and it was so tragic how many people were out and watching. You know, teams like the Cardinals and the Chiefs like struggle a little bit. Like it was interesting watching them go through their struggles, you know, so seeing the Lions beat a team like the Cardinals was kind of like interesting and good for them.
And the Cardinals, we're going to get to the Cardinals later. In fact, fuck it. Let's get to the Cardinals now. The Cardinals have got a whale of a team.
This is an interesting one.
They got a whale of a team. that they're when playing they against. They're traveling. 56, well, they're traveling 14. To Dallas. Yeah, Dallas fucking beat the shit out of Washington football team, and that finished up a 10-point teaser for me last weekend. It was like I knew that game was going to cover. I teased it from like Dallas minus 10 or minus 11.5 to Dallas minus like either pick 'em or minus 1, 1.5. And oh, wow. I mean, I had no doubt they were going to beat Washington football team. It was a three-way teaser that I did like 12 o'clock game, 3:30 game, 7 o'clock game, and each of them was like a game in that window that I took from a 10-point spread to something I felt comfortable with, and they all covered. If I was one of those people that had jumped on Chargers, would not have happened. But
a 10-point teaser. What's the return on a 10-point? I mean, it seems
it's minus, so... one, it's minus 130.
Okay.
Yeah. Minus 130, but you got in. It's got to be three legs. I'm gonna throw one at you here in a second.
Okay.
Right after this, Arizona at Dallas. Dallas is a 5.5-point home favorite. Man, I think Dallas is gonna win. I was tempted to include this game in some teasers, but I do want to employ a 10-point teaser this week, and I don't like teasing. I don't like taking big teasers like that and crossing over. Meaning I don't like swinging it from like Dallas minus 5.5 to Arizona minus 4.5. I always like to go one way further with it, right? Or bring it down to nothing or bring it down to pick 'em. I never like to cross all the way to the other side with these. So I'm not playing it either on the spread. I'm not playing on total. I think this is going to be a fun game to watch. I believe it's in the early window. I mean, the Saints play late. This is going to be a great, fun game to watch. And I think Dallas is going to put them on them. But what I think more than anything is that this total of 51.5 is fucking going down. It's getting cracked. Take the over on Arizona at Dallas. 51.5 is where it's at right now. I've already jumped on it.
Interesting.
Dallas scored 56 by themselves by the time they fucking quit.
The defenses are so different. I mean, the defenses are very different. And Arizona's Cowboys
defense sucks.
Washington football team has rivalry, and they have, you know, they have issues, and they're within the same division. I mean, they're just ultimate rivals. So you look at Cardinals, they have something that, you know, they have face to save, I would say. You know, I don't know.
Do you think the Cowboys are mad that Emmitt Smith went to the Cardinals at the end of his career? He didn't retire a Cowboy. You think they're like jilted lovers? Like, we were married for 14 years, and the last three, you started fucking Arizona.
Yeah, somewhere deep down in his heart, of course.
Just the whole Cowboys fan nation. I'm over here inadvertently probably singing the praise of the Cowboys. I just like these two motherfuckers to cover 51.5. I'm all about that, dude.
That'll be an exciting game to watch.
I am all about that one. All right, let's talk 10-point teasers, okay? So 10-point teaser in football, three legs, it's minus 130 is the odds, right? What I like about placing it this time of the week is we're recording on Wednesday night. We have the college football semifinals on New Year's Eve, Friday. In fact, starting during the day, the early game is Alabama and Cincinnati. Okay. Alabama opened as a minus 14, a 14-point favorite in this game. I jumped on them immediately back like early fucking December. I was afraid that line was going to go up.
Yeah. Yeah,
that line has since gone down to minus 13.5. Look, I'm confident they're going to cover. I got a lot at stake. They're going to cover 14. Okay. Moving to 13.5. What I'm going to do with this game is I'm going to include it in my three-way teaser. So you can do like NFL and really? College football. Yeah. In fact, with most teasers, probably didn't know this, new information and taking you over, you can include college or pro basketball with football in almost every teaser offering on the market.
And it's as simple.
It's different points. It's different point scales. So like a 6-point teaser, a traditional 6-point teaser in football. Shit. It's like 4 in the NBA, 3 in the NBA, something like that. I don't, I don't like teasing NBA games, so I don't even, I'm naive to it. I've lost too much fucking money trying to do that. Right. I just can't. I'm sorry, I can't. Don't listen to me for NBA.
I'm glad to hear that you have a point where you feel like you can lose too much money.
No, fuck yeah. Oh, there's shit I don't know. And it feels like, I mean, I've been so successful lately with the NFL and with all my crazy fucking teasers and all this shit that, I mean, the math says that there's doom ahead. But I'm seeing the board really fucking good right now. Had another positive week. I'm up like 26 units over the last two weekends of, and what happens is I make stupid bullshit like fun lottery ticket scratch off fireworks bets sometimes too. Like, oh, I'm gonna bet on fucking, I've been on somebody stupid to score the first touchdown in a game. It was like plus 2,000. I mean, just, you know, you some bets are like buying a scratch offs, but my serious bets have been such that I'm significantly up over the last few weeks. So that can only last so long. But this 10-point teaser, we're going to first include college football semifinal, Alabama-Cincinnati, 13.5. We're taking that down to Bama minus 3.5. You think Bama's going to beat Cincinnati by 3.5, Cedric?
I do.
Feels like a no-sweat bet to me. My Christmas Day teaser, in fact, it did cover. So we're pretty excited about that. This is along those same lines. This teaser right here, if you'd rode with me on Christmas Day, you'd have made some money. You ride with me here, you're going to do it, but it's going to be a multiple day thing. So Friday, we're taking Bama minus 3.5. The next one is going to be an NFL game of Tampa Toms at the Meadowlands to take on the New York Jets. Okay. Tampa is currently sitting minus 13 on this game. Tampa still got shit to play for. They still probably think they can get the number one seed. We've seen the Jets up close. We've seen the Jets with Zach Wilson. We've seen the Jets without Zach Wilson. The Jets are tragic, man. Look, 13's a lot to cover, and Tampa has done an exceptional job covering big spreads this year. But I really like the idea of taking them from minus 13 and taking them to minus 3 and making them the second leg of this teaser against.
That's so easy. So easy gun. This seems like just seems like free money. Tell
you'd
me the
shock. All right, the way that, but you'd be shocked at the rate that these lose.
Oh, I've watched. No.
Yeah, watched. Right. You've seen them lose, right?
Oh, yeah, I've watched.
A lot of the bad things is crossing over the median.
You get me.
Don't cross over.
Good.
Don't cross over the neutral ground. And don't bet on totals. Don't tease the fucking totals because that'll fuck everything up. That's how I lose 80% of my teasers, teasing the fucking totals. It gets tempting. Like, I'm probably going to tease a total in the Saints game. I am going to tease a total in the Saints game, but it's a different type of teaser. I ain't worried about it. I also, in this Tampa versus the Jets game, I like taking the over on the total of 45.5. Tampa hadn't scored less than 30 in a while till they played us, and we kind of made them look silly. The Jets, not going to be that same type of problem. Tampa has been strangely COVID immune all year. I feel very confident in them with this teaser, making them the second leg of it. But I also like the idea of taking the over 45.5 on that. What you think so far?
Well, I'm wondering, you know, so you're saying, let's say Tampa's going to get 35. You're saying the Jets are getting 10. I mean, where are you?
Yeah, I think it's like, I think Tampa's good for 35, 36. Zach Wilson back starting for the Jets again last week. He showed some spunk, man. And mm-hmm. The Jets have like strangely put up some points the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, we held them to virtually nil. They still scored damn near 20 on us. Right, I mean, it was, but
he scrambles, man. That Wilson kid, he gets around, but
yeah.
But the thing is, Bucks D, man. I mean, they're going to keep him contained. We'll see. I mean, you're the over to me. It's just saying that, yeah. Of course, Brady's going to have something to prove and want to have, you know, blow up the score, so to speak. But you know, 31-10. sounds like a, you know, 34-10. Like, I don't want to take the over too strongly.
Oh, I think Tom Brady's going to do rude things to him. I think they'll score 35 in the first half.
Nice.
He wants to prove something. I don't know. I'm an idiot. I like taking overs. What can I say?
You know, if he was,
I like taking the over.
I don't know the Bucs coaching so well that I can know how, you know, it's not like it's Belichick and Brady. Okay. So, you know, I don't know how this coaching staff will manage the game versus what they can do. There's a difference between go out there and just destroy them versus, all right, guys, let's go ahead and start thinking about next, you know.
Got no Leonard Fournette, so they have to throw the ball. They have Ronald Jones and another guy that scored on a long run. So that like their rush defense is good, but I mean, anything can happen. Look, the smart bet is them being the second leg of this, taking them from -13 to -3.
Yeah. I'll take that.
That's you ready good. For the third leg of the teaser?
Ready.
All right. Atlanta is traveling to Buffalo. Atlanta's fresh off that victory over Detroit. Buffalo, this is unreal. Buffalo is a 14.5 point home favorite in this game. Total on the game's 44. Take Buffalo from 14.5 down to 4.5. It doesn't get to that 3 threshold that I like, and this is probably the most susceptible. But also bear in mind this game is taking place in Buffalo. And fuck the Falcons.
Look, and the thing is, because the Falcons have to try to fight for the playoffs, they're going to, you know, they'll score enough.
Falcons have no fight for the playoffs. Falcons are done. Falcons have no shot.
Okay.
Buffalo has seeding concerns, big time seeding concerns.
I guess all I'm saying is I would also take the over on this as well. You said it was 44.
You like the 44 here, yeah?
I like it here. As much as easy as it is to take it with 10 points, I see, you know, I imagine the Bills wanting to score. And I still think the Falcons, how are they? They're out of playoffs contention completely, or are they out like the Saints are out? Because the Saints are in, you know?
They've won 7 games. They're going to be in a spot where, you ready for this? All they have to do is beat the Bills and then beat us.
Okay, so they're not out, so they have a reason to try to score. So I'm taking the over on this one big time.
And they can put up some points, and they're generationally talented.
They could put up 17 points, and the Bills could put up 31 points, and it would beat the over, right?
Yeah, they beat Detroit. They put up 20 against Detroit. I mean, you know, the Bills probably put up 30. Shit.
There you go.
This is one...
And they're healthy. Everybody.
You know what I'll do? Because this game, I'm going to probably do the same thing as you. I like this. But I'm going to wait until like Sunday morning to get a look at the weather.
Yeah. That crossed my mind.
And there's one other game like that I feel the same way. So I would join you in taking the over here. But for the purposes of my 10-point teaser, I want to take Buffalo from -14.5, like I said, -4.5. Another game that I do like the idea of the over on is also a very exciting, definitely going to be a feature.
And just for the people in the situation, the overtakers in the situation of myself, you mean taking the Falcons from +14.5 to +4.5 because they're at the Bills, right?
I'm taking Buffalo from -14.5 to -4.5.
So, but I thought that it's +14.5 for the Falcons. Like, really? I mean, it's always.
Well, you can go. So,
if
I put the 10 towards Atlanta, what I would do is I would take Atlanta from +14.5 to +24.5.
So that's how it works.
Yeah, I get to move it 10 points. I get to move. I get to move spreads with each team, or I could also put it on totals. But remember what I said earlier. So right. I could. So in this situation with Atlanta at Buffalo and the total being 44, and you are kind of leaning on the over, I could also take that total from 44 to 34 and take the over. Or I could move it from 44 to 54 and take the under.
Oh, yeah. I like bumping it up and taking the under on, and not this scenario, but I can imagine scenarios where
I would do that. Yeah, I could take Cincinnati, whoever the fuck they are playing at the University of Alabama, and take Cincinnati to plus 23 and a half, but I think they'll probably still lose by that. So I'd rather take Alabama minus 3.5. So
gotcha.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't like crossing over. So like an example would be that Dallas minus 5.5. If I took it, it ended up being, if I put it on Dallas, it ended up making Arizona or end up making Dallas a 4.5 point. You know,
yeah, it would swing to the other side. So
right.
I feel you. I mean, that would be changing the outcome of the game. I mean, it's saying that you believe the outcome is actually.
Yeah, there's better value because that's a situation where it's like, well, now what? Now I've done. What if, you know, Arizona pulls the upset, blows them out? Is strategy to it?
Sure.
There's odds to it. Definitely taking Buffalo from minus 14.5 to minus 4.5. All right. Next game I want to talk about, this is going to be a really fucking fun game. And I honestly don't know who's going to win. Kansas City Chiefs are traveling to Cincinnati. And Kansas City's a 5.5 point road favorite going into Cincinnati. Lately, it feels like Cincinnati only plays home games. Joe Burrow just fucking broke records. You know,
so awesome watching.
Oh, my God. He's amazing. He's just so much fun. The total on this game is 50.5. Look, honestly, this spread itself, I've got nothing for that. This game, I think, is just going to be fun enough on its own. But this 50.5 total, I'm taking the over on that, dude.
I take the over on that. Yeah, that's what we want to see.
Kelce will be back. I mean, dude, That's fun. And this feels like one of those games. This kind of shit. Dude, they could crack that. This would be one of those they crack it at halftime.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's just too much fun. Okay. But that being said, just like the Atlanta Buffalo one that we were talking about, because it is in Cincinnati, I do want to take a wait and see approach and make sure it's just not some kind of ridiculous, because we know it's going to be cold as shit. There's a big front hitting the country this weekend.
Absolutely.
It's going to be 30 degrees down here. Right. Mm-hmm. So those are definitely considerations on the total that you recommended and the total that I recommend. I even if you lose a half a point or a full point, because it moves, in a way that doesn't benefit you as far as closing line value goes, if you place the bet between now and then, I still like the value of having more certainty and seeing with my own eyes what that weather looks like, and then waiting, if you can, until Sunday to place those total over bets in weather-rich environments. Weather-rich environments can also help you with individual player props within games. Of course, I mean, it would seem to reason that in shittier weather, you want to move towards running backs and rushing yard totals rather than quarterbacks and passing yard totals when you're going to be seeing incidents of extreme weather. I had more success with that in my personal betting this week as well. I really like this next game. Miami is traveling to Tennessee. Rolled with Tennessee with some success last week. Tennessee's a 3.5 point home favorite. Total on this game is 40.5. As Saints fans, we got a real close look at Miami. You know, you take away the pick six touchdown that we threw on the third offensive play of the game, and even with our decimated by injury defense and depth, the Saints still held Miami to 13 points. I don't care what you say. This time of year, defense, Tennessee's got a defensive squad. They really do. Total on the game, like I said, 40.5. Said I feel real strong about taking Tennessee -3.5 here against Miami at home. What's your thoughts on that?
I agree. I'd stay away from the total, but yeah, Tennessee will cover that.
It's that time of year where they just they get stronger. I mean, look.
Dolphins are terrible. I mean,
well, they're interesting. They've now won 7 in a row, by the way. The Dolphins. They're coming in having won 7 in a row. I'll tell you what I liked out the Dolphins. I don't know. I mean, again, the more I see a Tua, the less I believe. And seeing him in person, it's nothing exceptional there, man. There's nothing like watching him and being able to see the whole field and everything. There's nothing exceptional about Tua. I hate to say it because I think he's a good human being, but there's nothing exceptional there as far as the NFL and how he adapts.
I think he will be a fairly average quarterback with a decent team, a decent offense potential. You know, his tight end and his receiving core can develop, and they'll be decent.
Deshaun Watson goes there next year.
You know, okay.
They've already been courting Deshaun Watson. I think they just missed the deal by the trade deadline. But like, Brian Flores is an amazing coach. He's a Belichick guy. You know, he comes from the Belichick coaching tree. And I mean, like Ian Book, the Saints quarterback, who, man, it was just on. I mean, 8 sacks, 8 fucking sacks. They were just whiffing on guys. He couldn't outrun them. They were getting head starts. It was bad. But Flores, when he did get into passing situations, he said, I thought they were going to be playing man-to-man. We prepped for man-to-man all week, and they were playing zone. Saying they were going to make him make some throws, and they knew they could get the pressure that they could without putting a fucking blitz on him. I mean, the Dolphins, they were strong as hell last year, too. I mean, the Dolphins are – but – their offense is nothing, you know. So Tennessee -3.5 here in this spot. I'm with you. Like, that total is low for a reason.
Yeah.
But I really like Tennessee 3.5 there. Are you ready to talk about the New Orleans Saints? Because this is a fascinating one to me.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Our beloved New Orleans Saints are hosting Carolina Panthers at 3:30 in the afternoon, Central Standard Time. This Sunday, the Saints are currently a 7-point home favorite to Carolina. Now, as a Carolina team that has defeated us on the road earlier this year, coming off of our big high point where after we just defeated Green Bay in opening week in week 2, we got humbled by Carolina. Saints were better on the offensive line during that game than they will be in this game. We're getting a boatload of people back from COVID. Carolina is starting to see some indications that their players are starting to get COVID. They've been putting guys on the list. Seven's a lot for New Orleans. I believe New Orleans is going to win this football game.
Yeah, I'm not taking. Yeah, exactly.
I don't, but I don't think New Orleans beating anybody by 7 right now. I'm sorry. No, I mean, I love my Saints, but I don't think they're beating anybody by 7 right now.
Right.
I hate to say it. I think they can win the Super Bowl not beating anybody by 7 from here on out, but I don't think they're beating anybody more than 7.
I don't know how that works either, but
I'm not. It goes against my personal value system to bet against the Saints in this capacity where I believe they can win the game, but I don't think they can cover. I never bet on that when this scenario happens, when I think the Saints will win but not cover. I'm not going to get mad at them for not covering 7, so I'm not going to bet the Saints on the spread. Total on this game is 38.5. Saints are coming off games where the total score was 9 and the total score was 23.
Yeah.
They just, this 38.5 can't get low enough. And this is one of those games where I truly believe, look, Carolina's got a badass defense, and so do we. Carolina's got an anemic offense. They did a rotating quarterback deal last week with Cam Newton and
I had no idea what they did, by the way.
It's insanity. It's insanity.
I should look at highlights on that just for entertainment.
It's insanity. They rotated. It wasn't even Darnold. Now, Darnold is back this week. Now they've announced Darnold's going to start this game, which kind of pisses me off because I was hoping to see Cam because he's just been – he's now like 0-13 in his last 13 starts as a Panther. I really like taking the under on this 38.5 on the Saints game.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I wasn't going to say.
I'll do it. I'll do it. And I'm going to do something else that's even crazier. I am going to get involved on this line, but I'm going to do a two-way 6-point teaser. Odds are -120. Okay. Two ways, 6 points. I can do it on the same game, within the same game. So I feel like 38.5, nobody's getting over 38.5 this game, but really nobody's getting over 44.5 this game. I want to move it 6 points from 38.5 to 44.5. Okay. Follow me so far?
Absolutely.
Second leg of this. I hate to be sacrilege, but ladies and gentlemen, we're taking Carolina from +7 and we're making them +13. And so we're pairing Panthers getting 13 points. You think the Saints are going to beat Carolina by 14 points or more, Cedric?
No.
I'm not sure we're going to score 14 points, man.
You know, I think we're going to be able to, we're going to find ways to score. But it's, again, like you said, with the Panthers' defense.
They're good defense.
Yeah, because they're good, it'll be difficult for me to imagine that we'll – I'm not going to say we won't be able to score at all. I'm just going to say, you know, I don't think we're going to win by 14.
Two-way 6-point teaser on the Saints game, taking the Panthers from – +7 and making them +13 and making the total from 38.5 to 44.5 pays -120 on us. So if you bet $12, you're going to win 10. If you bet $120, you're going to win 100. That's all I've got on the NFL slate. Are there any games that that we didn't get to that you want to make sure that we do?
Nope. Not at all.
Dude, I always enjoy having you on.
Appreciate it, man.
It's been some of our best episodes. That crypto episode blew my mind. You told me you've been dabbling in crypto. You're saying 2022 is the year of crypto, right?
No, I'm just saying I'm getting back involved. I'm not saying it's the year of crypto. I love volatility. Okay. So again, I'm on the swing trading. So I like it when things are rumbling. This summer, it was kind of dying down. It was an opportunity for people to either get scared of the market or for people to kind of do research and kind of, you know, flop around, but now it just seems like there's some energy there. And we're getting into, 2022 is going to be a political season. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of energy. And whenever things like that are going on, I just feel like the volatility goes up. And rather than merely playing in the stock market, the crypto market, you can make a lot more swings in a much shorter period of time. So,
well, I'm going to want your help with that because I want to get with you on that. So
it's fun.
Mm-hmm. Dude, we'll do that. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your friendship. Cool. Dude, with that being said, thank you so much again. As is our tradition, say goodnight to all the beautiful Overtakers out there listening in podcast land.
All right, Overtakers, y'all have a good one.
And we'll see you guys next week. Hugs, kisses, loves, cheers. Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year's. Yes. Bye.